Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up in just 1 minute, we're going to talk to an up-and-coming Democratic member of Congress, Joe Sestak from Pennsylvania, who may challenge Arlen Specter in a Democratic primary. Remember, Arlen Specter just became a Democrat. In a Democratic primary for U.S. Senate next year, and President Obama is trying to pressure him not to do that. So we will talk to Joe Sestak in just a minute. Just want to start the hour by thanking everybody who has pledged to our May membership campaign so far, our spring membership drive, and especially those of you who've pledged during the Brian Lehrer Show or last hour when we were asking, and renew that call for those of you who haven't done it yet. This drive is going to end in just a couple of days. So while we happen to be talking about it, while it's top of mind, we hope you will support WNYC with a contribution. We have, in effect right now, a dollar match for every $2 that you pledge. So this is in effect right now. If you pledge $100, we will get $150 because of the generosity of one of your fellow listeners. So please help us take advantage of all that matching money. Please call and support WNYC right now at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or online at WNYC.org. While this match is in effect, a dollar for every $2 that you pledge. We thank that donor, and we thank you very much for supporting your public radio station. Now, two-part question. Guess who might challenge Arlen Specter next year in a Democratic primary? We just answered that one. And part two, guess who wants to stop him? Maybe that's the surprising part. The surprising answer to be that President Obama is apparently trying to stop him. But let us meet Congressman Joe Sestak, Democrat from the Delaware County area, a little bit outside Philadelphia. Congressman, thanks for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Brian.
So the Democrats snag one of the longest-serving, most well-known Republican senators, Arlen Specter. He joins your party after all these years to run for re-election as a Democrat. And your reaction is, not so fast, buddy?
Absolutely. Here's why. I have great respect for the Washington, D.C. Democratic Party political establishment. But during my 31 years in the military, I always remember the great story about George Washington, where he gave the very first medal, a piece of purple ribbon, that later became the Purple Heart. And he said it would only be given to an enlisted man, no officer, because he wanted to demonstrate that the way to the top was open to everyone. In short, there's no kings, and there's no kingmakers in America. And I was taken a bit amiss by the fact that here we were having Washington, D.C. be a kingmaker and anoint someone to be the establishment representative for the Democratic primary, reaching over to the GOP establishment where he had been for four decades and said, here it is. Here is your future through 2016. And then I sat back and said, I've got to watch this. And I have. Will he be there for us, as he wasn't for four decades, for health care for everyone? Will he be there, not voting for a tragic misadventure like Iraq, as he did in the future when he have a similar tough position? And will he be there for the type of educational opportunity where Pennsylvanians now rank with Florida in average age of being the oldest nation in the country, oldest state in the country, because we aren't keeping our youth with the educational opportunities because our tuition has doubled, just gone out of sight in 8 years. In short, that's why I've been moved to get into, or very close to getting into, this race.
And Congressman, I don't know what's a bigger story, you considering a challenge against Arlen Specter or President Obama asking you not to do it. Did he call you himself?
No, he didn't. And look, first off, I'm pretty low on the totem pole. He's got two wars overseas, an economic worry here. He's got bigger fish to fry. But I also know this.
So what happened, actually?
Well, what happened is that Arlen said on TV that he realized he could not win a Republican primary. The polls, he said on TV, showed he could not beat the conservative Republican in the primary, Representative Toomey. Even though Arlen Specter voted about four out of five times with President Bush, he couldn't win it. So he said he did not want his legacy to be judged by the Republican Party, of which he'd been a member for 4 or 5 decades. So he became a Democrat because he thought that he could get past the primary and win. When asked what he got for it, he at first demurred and said nothing, but then he said, he got seniority. As an entitlement. There are no entitlements. Now, the president has said that Arlen, you know, had him to the White House. But I also, as you saw, Brian, about 3 weeks ago, the president said something very interesting at Arizona State University. He said in his opening comments that the core mission of the office of the presidency is to make an opportunity open to everyone. And I don't think this president wants to foreclose an opportunity for a different choice for Pennsylvanians. That's why when you said, as he called or not, I think he recognized the office of the presidency is an office that wants to have a choice between two individuals. And I respect Arlen for some good things he's done in the past.
Well, that's what you hope they want. But confirm this if it's right, or refute it if it's wrong, because I've been seeing press accounts that say somebody contacted you on behalf of the president asking you not to run against Arlen Specter. Did that happen?
Nobody in Washington, D.C., elected office or at the White House has. Senator Menendez, head of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, called me twice, and I've responded both times, but we haven't connected. There have been people in Washington, D.C. who aren't in the executive branch that aren't, and in Pennsylvania's establishment state parties that aren't elected, who have called and said, look, you don't really want to do this. Arlen's been around. He's part of the establishment. He's got claims of all the loyalties and monies that's going to come into this campaign. How about not doing it? And I've told them all that actually that kind of call actually moves me closer to getting in the race. But No, there has been no call at all
okay.
from the White House.
All right. I'm glad we cleared that up. But, you know, the same thing is happening in New York.
Yes.
Senator Schumer and others asked Congressman Steve Israel. In fact, President Obama himself asked Congressman Steve Israel in that case not to run in a primary against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who many progressive Democrats find too conservative. So what is all this with Democratic leaders asking Democrats like you not to run in primaries? Doesn't the Democratic Party like democracy?
That my concern is that for an understandable short-term expedient gain, that is a 60th vote, to make sure there's not a filibuster against, because you need 60 votes to bring a piece of legislation to the floor, mm-hmm. they have decided that they didn't want the boat rocked maybe in New York, or they did not to ensure that vote came back, that representative came back as a senator, or they wanted to have Arlen's 60th vote. But I say, wait a moment, reconciliation is in the president's budget, where you'd only need 51 votes to vote on health care reform and educational. More than that, it's for this Washington, D.C. short-term game, which I understand, because I support the president's budget. I'm mm-hmm. going to run on his agenda.
Right.
What are you giving us in the long term? I just think that they forgot. It's not the House at either end of Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House at one end of Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., or the Congress at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. It's us independent-minded Pennsylvanians in the state that actually need to have a choice for what's going to affect us through 15 and 16 on that. I do think that sometimes the Washington, D.C. political establishment forgets it's not their decision. And ultimately, that's why I think that this race will be different. This will be a race about issues. Well, a Democrat is going to win this race. It's, do you believe the individual who you want is going to be someone which you've respected, Specter, or someone you agree with for the future, which is I got into this campaign as a congressman after 31 years in the military. My daughter had a brain tumor. I got in because I wanted to fight for health care reform. It wasn't just war in Iraq. It was health care reform. I joined the military during the Vietnam War because I felt it was a selfless thing to do. But I have to tell you right now, getting into this next race isn't something 4 months ago I thought of doing. But I have to tell you right now, it is almost a duty. Because I believe, as you alluded to, democracy demands a choice, not a dictum from Washington, D.C.
Congressman Joe Sestak, Democrat from Pennsylvania, just outside Philly, my guest on WNYC, as you hear, very seriously considering. That was almost a declaration of his candidacy, but not quite, but his strong consideration of challenging Arlen Specter in a Democratic senatorial primary. in Pennsylvania next year. On another issue, Congressman, you mentioned your 31 years in the military, and I hear you've been active in trying to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell on Congress's agenda for this year. You want Congress, not the president, to allow openly gay and lesbian Americans in the military. Is that correct?
I want us both to do it. The reason it is part of the law, and I don't think that the president should just bear the whole burden of responsibility on such an important issue by an executive order. It is part of the law, don't I? And so I believe that Congress should share in this. I think both should do it. Why? Here, it's very simple for me. I went to war. I led a command carrier battle group, 30,000 sailors, 30 ships in the war in Afghanistan, and early precursor combat operations for Iraq. We knew by surveys of the outside groups that we had gays in the military. I went to war with them. And I'm going to come home and say they don't have equal rights? I don't understand that. And so I believe that I love this president, and I want to help him as he's gotten this economic security going again, because it's intense out there, but it's not intensifying. So number two, we're going to get his budget through, because it's about retooling the economy for healthcare and education. But come late summer, early fall, I'd like to see an equality issue like this come forward, because it's the right thing to do. But I believe Congress shouldn't shy from being out in front with the president, making sure that every understands, like the women's right to vote, or when we did away with a poll tax for African-Americans, that we also hold up a national mirror to ourselves and say, we're better than this. Let's move on to more important issues and fix this one and get to it.
So we just have a minute left. Do you think it would carry more psychological legitimacy in the rank and file of the military if Congress does it rather than President Obama does it as commander-in-chief?
Absolutely, because the Constitution says that Congress provides for the, quote, rules and regulations of the military, unquote. And the president should not, as commander-in-chief, he can do it, and we take our orders from the commander-in-chief. We should be a joint thing together, but Congress should not shy from its constitutional duty. It should have, and it should speak. And you know, it's like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said once when he was testifying and we were arguing about, someone said, well, doesn't it hurt the morale of our troops overseas if we're arguing about the rights or wrong of the Iraqi war? He said, no. He said, our men and women are intelligent. They understand that is part of the international debate we need to have in the halls of Congress. And that's why it is important that Congress speaks, because they understand, really they do, that we are the ones that provide the rules and regulations, and this is a rule that needs to be changed.
Well, we know how hard fought those suburbs just outside Philadelphia were in that other Democratic primary last year between Obama and Clinton.
And I was in there for President Obama.
And maybe you will be in ground zero again, but this time for your own Democratic primary next year.
Yeah. Roger, and I'm sorry, for the general election, I was really there. I thought you were talking about general election. Got it. Listen, Brian, I was so glad to be talking with you. I'd love to come back.
And we'd love to have you. Congressman Joe Sestak, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.